And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Folks, I know I am today, particularly because I've gotten promoted. Yes, I've gotten promoted. In fact, I'm about to make a rather dramatic change to the program because I just wasn't aware of my own status. So I was consulting with Jill Biden and, Dr. Jill Biden. And I realized that since I have a JD, which is a Juris Doctor, I am not properly being addressed. I should be addressed as Dr. Jackson. And I just thought, oh, wow, I had no idea. Because Jill Biden said, you know, you will address me properly and you will acknowledge my education and you will acknowledge my status as a doctor. So it's because she has a PhD and she is to be referred to as Dr. Jill. So I want to say to all my listeners out there, so in the future, you do not refer to me as EW. Do not refer to me as Bishop. You shall refer to me as Dr. Jackson. Because after all, that's the status that I deserve, and I am an important person. And by the way, as a doctor, I've already decided I'm going to write Jill Dr. Biden. I'm going to write her a prescription. And you know what's going to say? Get a life. I mean, get a life. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I can't believe the level of hubris and self-absorption of these people. Call me Dr. Jill Biden. I mean, you got a PhD in education. Okay, great. Millions of people have them. And by the way, some people don't think they're that great anyway. I mean, but you're certainly not. You know, it's interesting that one commentator pointed out that the mainstream media refers to Jill Biden as Dr. Biden more than they refer to Ben Carson as Dr. Carson. And Ben Carson was a world, still is, he's retired from medicine now, but was a world-renowned brain surgeon, an actual medical doctor who performed history-making operations, including the separation of two Siamese twins at the brain. And the mainstream media primarily referred to him as Ben Carson. But not Jill Biden. It's Dr. Jill Biden. You know, the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And these people are really stuck on themselves. And, you know, they always express all of this concern about the regular people, the ordinary people, the working people. And yet they're always busy trying to put themselves above the rest of us. This is the hypocrisy of the left. Well, so, folks, I'm joking, of course. Please don't call me Dr. Jackson. Right? Because I'll be thinking that you want me to write you a prescription, you know. But it is funny. They don't realize how clownish they really are with this stuff. You know, you want to be concerned about the people and about the masses. But here again, every rule they set up, everything they say everyone else must do, they are always busy putting themselves above it. You know, I may have shared this with you all before, but my pastor, the late Reverend Rafe Taylor, used to say this, and it never left me. He used to say, son, you can't lead where you won't go, and you can't teach what you don't know. And this idea of this is for, how's that go? For thee, but not me. You know, do as I say, but not as I do. That's the that really characterizes the nature of the left. You know, we're really concerned about saving the planet, but I'm important. I have to fly around in private jets and drive SUVs, and we need gun control. We've got to get guns out of the hands of people. But I'm important, and I need armed guards around me to guard my life, because after all, I'm not like ordinary people. And we need to respect women. We need to have women be believed when they're spoken to, unless you're accusing Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. And then, of course, it's not important that you be believed. It's important that you be dismissed. And it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, with all the compassion, do you know, I haven't looked at the recent studies, but the data has tended to show that these liberals who are always talking about compassion for the poor, and we must do something for the needy, and we must do something for the downtrodden. Guess who actually personally does stuff for the needy and the downtrodden? Conservatives. You can't even begin to compare the level of contributions to charity to the needs of the poor, the needs of the infirm that conservatives give as opposed to liberals. I remember the first time they checked Al Gore's tax return, the first time he released his tax return, I think at that time, this is back in the, early 90s, he had an income of over $100,000, and that was, 30 years ago, so pretty good. He had given $300 to charity. Yeah, $300 to charity. So, and that's, I don't mean to pick on him, but it's characteristic that they think their idea of compassion is to take money out of your pocket and the pockets of other people and direct it. In other words, their idea of compassion is to spend other people's money, not their own. So their hypocrisy knows no bounds. I don't want to meet Jill Biden, nothing personally against her. God bless. I hope she gets saved and goes to heaven. But I really don't want to meet somebody who is running around telling people, you must call me doctor. That's a bit too much. It really is. So folks, no, you don't have to call me doctor. You don't have to call me bishop. You can call me EW. That's what a lot of people speak to me. I'm not insulted or offended, but oh boy, you know, get a life, would you? I mean, because you know, the thing is, to make a national issue of it, women are not getting their due respect, and women need to. Please, you're a human being first and foremost, right? And how about relating as such, as opposed to getting up on your high horse and looking down at everyone else and demanding that people give you your just due as someone who's earned a PhD in education? And by the way, is that an honorary degree or is that a real earned degree? Because, you know, they throw a lot of honorary degrees around. In fact, you know, quick story, I had a group contact me, a college contact me about, maybe 10 years ago. We wanted to confer on you an honorary degree. And I thought, wow. What have I done to earn an honorary degree? And I said, okay. They said, you know, you have to come down and we'll bestow it on you and blah, 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 blah. And then they started saying, and you know, it'll just cost you $500 here and $1,000 there and $500. I began to think to myself, man, this is a pretty expensive PhD or honorary doctorate. And I declined. I did. I said, that's okay. You know, that's okay. I appreciate the honorific, but that's okay. I will somehow make myself do to not be referred to and to not be known as someone with a honorary doctorate degree. But maybe that's just me. If I'd consulted with Jill Biden, I'd have known better. I'd pay whatever it took to get that honorary title. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. One of the stories that keeps surfacing is how politicians who set down stringent rules for dealing with the coronavirus end up breaking their own rules. This has been standard fare for various conservative hosts, but even CNN hosts have been criticizing political leaders who can't seem to comply with mandated guidelines. Breonna Keller, for example, came down on Democratic leaders like California Governor Gavin Newsom, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, and Denver Mayor Michael Hancock. After listing the politicians' offenses, she reminded her audience that trust is built slowly but evaporates faster than reservations at a fancy restaurant. She said that instead of criticizing a few Republicans who aren't wearing masks, perhaps they should look in the mirror. On more than one occasion, I've posted articles and discussed the harsh reality that many Americans are not taking the current pandemic seriously and are all too willing to violate mandates imposed by governors and mayors. One possible reason for that can be found in the obvious fact that many political leaders have been caught breaking their own rules. Gavin Newsom and London Breed tell us to wear masks and to maintain social distance from others. Then we see them shoveling down very expensive food at the French Laundry in Napa, California, with no masks and sitting elbow to elbow. The mayor of Austin, Texas, sends a message that we should stay home and try to keep the numbers down. He sent the message while staying in Cabo, Mexico. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Dianne Feinstein are both over the age of 80. They're in the target demographic group that should wear masks and be especially careful. Then we see them without masks in a number of photos. You know, if these politicians want us to follow their rules, perhaps they should stop breaking the rules they impose on us. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Brian Fisher here. In Joe Biden's America, we'll see a tsunami of illegal aliens, and it's already started. The biggest obstacles to the GOP winning the runoff election in Georgia are the Republican governor and the Republican Secretary of State. Dominion machines were intentionally programmed to cheat, and a Democrat stands tall in the culture war. That and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So, yesterday, of course, we had the big vote, the Electoral College vote, and of course, they confirmed Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. There are still those who hold out hope that the level of fraud and cheating that went on in this last election will ultimately be exposed for what it was. And the person who rightfully won the election will, in fact, take office, and that is President Donald Trump. But, that becomes increasingly less likely as a practical matter. I think the institutions are closing ranks around the election being over. And the only thing we can do, as I said, there's nothing we can really do about this but pray and seek God's face. And know this, that God always has a plan. He always has a plan. Now, in my Tuesday call, which I've told you all about, my Tuesday noontime call, I had Brent Bozell, founder of the Media Research Center, on, and he laid out some very, very chilling data about how the mainstream media has behaved and the fact that we really just don't have a free press anymore. We just don't. You've got us, and you've got a few other organizations that are trying to hold fast to truth. But the mainstream media has really just become the propaganda arm of the left and the Democrat Party, and that's it. And he talked about the fact that they did some research on Biden voters, and their research showed that nearly, I think 45, 46, something like that, but close to 50% of the people who voted for Biden, get this, had never heard of the Hunter scandal. Had never heard of it. Guess why? Because the mainstream media has not talked about it at all. At all. And so how do you inform people? I mean, how do you get the truth to people? Well, I think that's one of the hurdles that we have to figure out, because I'm convinced. Oh, and by the way, he went on to say that once they were informed, a percentage of those people said that would have changed my vote. Now, not most of them, but a percentage. But the percentages that he talked about would have been sufficient to have given President Trump the victory overwhelmingly. He would have won by landslide. And he named eight different issues that people were ill-informed or completely uninformed about, and that once they heard about the issue, it changed a sufficient number or percentage of those votes that it would have given President Trump an overwhelming victory, in spite of all the cheating. So you see, the mainstream media has now, you know, President Trump dubbed this, and I know it's tough, but I really think it's true. The mainstream media has become the enemy of the people. Because they're now the enemies of freedom. They're not interested in information. They're not interested in facts. They're only interested in propagandizing for purposes of fulfilling their own far-left agenda. So that's where we are. However, there is a congressman, Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama, who says that he is trying to find one senator. Now, I don't know how far this is going to go. He was apparently on Lou Dobbs yesterday. He's trying to find one senator who will refuse to certify the Electoral College results. He is trying to find one senator. He said if one senator and he, as a House member, refused to certify the election results, if they refuse to certify the election results, that it then has to go to Congress for a vote. It then has to go to Congress for a vote. And what he's saying is he believes that President Trump won the Electoral College, and that if you eliminate all the places where there were irregularities on a massive scale, that President Trump becomes the next president. So here's one congressman, and they take that vote, by the way, on January 6th. So here's one congressman who believes there is still hope. Now, here again, I think that's a long shot. He said, what I need is a United States senator to join me. And whether that will happen, I don't know. I understand that a lot of senators are now saying, you know what, we've got to live to fight another day. This one's over. So we'll see how all of that works out. But there are still those who think that there is hope for this situation to be rectified. He said that he refuses to join what he calls the GOP Surrender Caucus. That's what he's calling members of the GOP who are now saying it's over, the Surrender Caucus. So like I said, folks, this stuff is now, it's really out of the hands of the people at this point, because it's in the courts and it's in the Congress. The people have spoken. But unfortunately, there were a lot of the people involved in the process who decided they didn't like what the people were saying and that they were going to make sure that they got the outcome that they wanted. You know, I've said this before. You know, communist countries have elections. Of course they do. But the outcome is guaranteed before the election's ever held. And I think that's what the Democrat Party is looking for. They're looking for a one-party state. they're looking to be able to hold the elections and guarantee the outcome before the election ever happens. They're looking for a permanent governing majority that ultimately destroys all opposition, like they practically, for all practical purposes, they've done in California. So here again, we have got to pray, because our country really is at a critical moment. We are at the precipice, in my view. We are at the precipice, because once you destroy the integrity of the voting process, and you make it so that voting doesn't matter, and the vote of the majority is not even considered, or as Hillary Clinton now wants to do, she's calling for the abolition of the Electoral College. She was one of the electors, but she's calling for the abolition of the Electoral College because, here again, they feel like with California and New York and cheating, with those three elements, they can win every national election. See, I think we ought to go the other way. I don't know whether I've mentioned this to you. I think we ought to go the other way. I think we ought to apply the principle of the Electoral College to every state. Because I don't think it's fair for the rural people of New York to have to be governed by the large numbers of liberal crazies in New York City. And frankly, I don't think it's fair for the people of Virginia, many of whom live in rural counties. Most of the counties of Virginia are rural, folks, overwhelmingly. For those people to be governed by and sandwiched in by the northwest and southeast portions of the state, meaning where I live right now, where it's more urban, and there it's one of the largest populated populations in the Commonwealth, about 1.6 or 7 million here, and I think it's about 2 point something million up in Northern Virginia that really kind of carry the day when it comes to elections. And so those two areas, and you've got some cities that are urban pockets as well around the state, but between those urban pockets, you have the whole state being governed by really a small portion of the state. So I like the idea of applying the Electoral College to states so that each county gets so many electoral votes. Each city gets so many electoral votes. And that way you have some balance between rural and urban areas, which can have very different views about life and what's expected of government and so forth, instead of having urban enclaves governing an entire state and ignoring all the people who don't live in those urban enclaves. Because that's what we've got right now. That's what we've got in Virginia. So I think we ought to apply the Electoral College system to all the states rather than doing away with the Electoral College system for the United States. But, you know, if Hillary Clinton has her way, basically we'll all be living like California and New York. No, thank you. If I had to live under the governance of a Gavin Newsom, I'm not even going to speculate. I think I'd be one of those people who leaves. And by the way, speaking of leaving, we also don't want all these, you know, these businesses that are fleeing California now because they've realized they can't live under the tax system and the regulations and the craziness, and they're leaving and they're moving to Texas. But here is my warning. And this is not necessarily to you, but to certain people who might be part of that out migration. We working for some of these, we know, liberal companies. Please, if you don't like living in California, you don't like living in New York, don't move to one of the conservative states and bring the same old stupid ideas that made you want to leave in the first place. Leave that stuff behind and come and embrace freedom and entrepreneurship and Judeo-Christian values and principles and family and the things that really make for a better life as opposed to the life that you just escaped. I don't know why people leave one place and then try to make the next place they go just like the one they had to escape. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
You know, we have problems in life, problems that we need to stand up to. And if you're to stand up to those problems, you need to convince yourself that absolutely nothing in life can defeat you unless you're willing to let it. Many times, when faced with trying problems which life has put in our path, we feel that we are at the end of our rope. I've felt that way many times, and I know you have too. What should a person do when he gets to the end of his rope? Hang on! That's what the rope is there for. A wit has put into poetry the tale of two frogs that had gotten to the end of their rope. One hung on, the other didn't. Here's the story of their plight. Listen carefully. Two young frogs from inland bogs had spent the night in drinking. As morning broke and they awoke, while still their eyes were blinking, a farmer's pail came to the swale and caught them quick as winking. Ere they could gather scattered senses or breathe a prayer for past offenses, that granger grand, that guiltless man, had dumped them in the milkman's can. They quickly find their breath will stop unless they swim up on the top. They swim for life. They kick and swim until their weary eyes grow dim. Their muscles ache. Their breath grows short. And gasping speaks one weary sport. Say, oh dear, I've had enough of life. No more I'll try it. Sweet milk is not my diet. Tut, tut, my lad, the other cries. A frog's not dead until he dies. Let's keep on kicking. That's my plan. We yet may see outside this can. No use, no use, faint heart replies, turns up his toes and gently dies. Now the brave frog, undaunted still, kept kicking with a right good will, until with joy too great to utter, he found he'd churned a pound of butter. And climbing up on this hunk of grease, he floated to town with the greatest ease. Now the moral of the story is this. When in your Christian life you find you've grown weary of the toilsome grind, don't get discouraged and go down, but struggle on, no murmur utter. A few more kicks may bring the butter. If you refuse to be bigger than the problems which life sends your way, those problems will defeat you. But if you can grow bigger than your problems, you'll always have them on the run. If someone were to ask me what my Christian faith does for me, I should have to reply that it gives me the strength to stand up to life. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. That's what Paul said. That's a favorite verse of mine. Whatever else the Christian faith does, it gives a person power to stand up to life. I have experienced that truth in my own life many times, and I've seen it experienced in the lives of other people who would otherwise have been defeated.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. I'd love to get your calls, to get your take on the Electoral College vote and get your take on Hillary Clinton's desire to abolish the Electoral College. If you have any interest in that crazy subject at all, you might even comment on Joe Biden's desire to be called doctor. So, look, one more thing. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. A couple more things. One is, you know, Venezuelans, this story is just breaking. Venezuelans are dying on rafts trying to escape Venezuela. Now, think about this. You've got Venezuelans dying to escape socialism, drowning trying to escape socialism, and you've got the left in our country trying to drown us all in socialism. It just doesn't get any more ironic than that. How in the world, well, we know how, they've managed to inculcate our young people with this romanticized view of socialism They've done it because the media has cooperated, the colleges and universities have cooperated, and our people, too many of our people have just been indoctrinated with this unrealistic viewpoint about what socialism is, so they don't know the stark, ugly, murderous reality. But here again, socialism came to Venezuela through Hugo Chavez, and now people are dying in the oceans and the rivers trying to get out of it. And that's what the left wants for us. No, thank you. Freedom is what we want here in America. And we're going to have it, whether they like it or not. There is a growing sense that because of this election in Georgia, I cannot begin to say how important that election is. Oh, my goodness. It is just as important as whether President Trump is going to ultimately prevail. It is just as important, and in some ways maybe more important, because even if he were to prevail and he has absolutely no control over the Senate or the House, no real influence, because the Senate and the House are controlled by Democrats, I mean, he's not going to be able to get anything done legislatively or very little. And God forbid, if he does not prevail and you've got the Democrats holding the White House and both chambers of Congress, here's the discussion that's happening. One of the first things they're going to do is to repeal the Hyde Amendment. And you know what the Hyde Amendment is. That's the amendment that says that government funds may not be used to finance abortion. Now, Planned Parenthood, I think, in many ways, has skirted that and ducked that by saying, well, we don't use those funds for abortion, but it's all fungible, please. That's a joke. But there certainly is that restriction which needs to stay in place, even if it's often violated. It needs to stay in place. In fact, it needs to be strengthened. But there's talk that a Congress controlled completely by Democrats with a Joe Biden in the White House will immediately move to make sure that your tax dollars and mine can be used to kill more unborn babies. I mean, think about that. That's in the forefront of their minds. How do we shed the innocent blood of babies? Let's make that a priority. And you know, that just think about how sick you've got to be. The first priority is not, how do we get a better education to our children, right? The first priority is not, how do we get people back to work who've lost their jobs and their businesses as a result of COVID? No, the first issue is not, how do we strengthen our national security against the clear encroaching activities of communist China? No. Among the first priorities, how do we kill more unborn babies? Now, I know that's stark, folks, but that's exactly what this boils down to. And the fact that you'd put that in the forefront of your agenda says something very terrible about the people who could be in power. So that's why that Georgia election is extremely important, extremely important. You want to find out, by the way, I didn't plan to say this, but you want to find out how you can help me to have an impact on that election, go to our website. StandAmerica.us. Just go to our website. You'll get information there about what we're trying to do, because we can't. I mean, this is not just about tax policy. This is not just about economic policy. This is life or death. This is life or death. Okay. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's get to your calls. And let's go to Brian in Arkansas. Brian, welcome.
Well, hello, doctor. I'm so glad
you got your, Now, Brian, we were wondering how long it was going to take for the first caller to refer to me as doctor, and you just took the prize. Okay, first caller. Yeah.
Well, good to have you on, Brian. You know, hey, I appreciate you guys. So promotions are always good. I'm sure your raise is in the mail, so enjoy that when that arrives. if you or anybody has the ability to access Amazon Prime videos, they did, there was an Electoral College movie, if you will. It's an hour or so long, that does an amazing job of explaining the Electoral College, why it's important to keep it. And there's people from all sorts of backgrounds on there, how it actually helped free the slaves. I mean, it's just a very, wow, very well done job. And so my question, though, is what created the United States and essentially forced or pushed our founders into creating the document that we stand behind and under and upon, being the Constitution? And it was revolution. It was revolution for something better. You know, they didn't want the oppression that they had. And so my take is, we are a country within a country, and we're divided not necessarily by race and so forth, but by what one part of the country wants versus the other. And the other that we see now through what most people feel like would be cheating and so forth with the election process, if that becomes the oppressor, my question is, how long do you think it will be before something gets ramped up? And I'm going to kind of leave it there, but I think you know where I'm headed. Hey, yeah, I love you, dude, and we cannot be defeated. You know that. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen, Brian. Now, that's doctor to you, Brian. Okay. You know, I was talking to my producer. I said, now, how long do you think it's going to take for somebody to come on and call me doctor? And Brian jumped right in there, right? The first call out. Look, I know exactly what Brian is getting at, and who knows? And you all know my sentiment about this. I don't ever want to see this country enter into some kind of civil war. And he's right. It wouldn't be racial, although it had that element to it because of what the left is trying to do in dividing us racially. It would be ideological. It would be a war on principle. We don't ever want to see that happen because it just, it's a horror too great to contemplate. I tell you what I'm believing for, what I'm putting all of my hope and faith and trust in: an awakening. Yes, this is the awakening, an awakening, a third great awakening, a revival in America. All right, let's go to Mike. Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Bishop.
Here we go. What has Jill Biden done? Okay, all right, Mike, good to have you on.
I agree that we should keep the Electoral College and possibly bring it to the states. And on another note, I was wondering, at our next election, if we have another election, could all the Republican governors put the National Guard in the polling places to prevent election fraud with deadly force authorized?
Well, you know, that second part you just added in there just kind of blew up the argument. I don't know whether they would have the legal authority to put the National Guard into our electoral, into our balloting places, but deadly force in cases of fraud or irregularities, of course, that's beyond the pale. I think we've got a lot of work to do between elections to try to make sure that we don't have those problems, and getting rid of mail-in ballots is the first step. Back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box, because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer. Christmas calls for Christmas music. Get it now with the AFR app.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Download the AFR app for free from your local app store and enjoy Christmas music from AFR all season long.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy...
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio.
We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
I love God. I love the Lord. I'm spending time, you know, in the Bible. But if my kid has a school project, I will get back to God.
Scarlett Pepin on Focus on the Family Minute.
I mean, in other words, I got to stay up till 3 a.m. get this school project done. When in my heart and in my spirit, I can feel the Lord drawing me to, hey, come away with me. Let's spend some time together. And the only way I can explain it is you're reading the Word, you're spending time with the Lord, you're putting Him first. Also, it unraveled some of my identity. I'm a good mom, so that was part of my identity. These kids, you can make them all about them. I think as mamas, we need to be real careful because nothing can come before our relationship with the Lord.
Especially during your busy seasons, put God first. More from Scarlett at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, folks, I think what we've got to do is do away with mail-in ballots completely. And of course, the left just loves them. And why? Why do they love them? They love mail-in ballots because it's easy to cheat with them. Except for, here again, people who are disabled. And, you know, you work out the security issues with regard to that. You got to match up those signatures. Make sure that those folks are in fact doing the voting and not some ballot harvesters who are simply using disabled people or elderly people. And then the other thing is we got to do away with these computer systems. I think that Dominion and Smartmatic have been a disaster. You know what we really need? What we need is human counters of paper ballots. And we can have some machine counters as well. You know, we count money with machines, and we trust machines. When you ever go to the bank and you watch the person take cash and stick it in that little machine. And you know, it seems to count very accurately. So we could come up with something like that to speed up the process. But that paper ballot would always be there as proof that a particular individual cast that ballot. And right now, with these computer systems and these mail-in ballots, with no matching of signatures or verifying of the identity of the person who cast the ballot, we just got a mess. We got a mess on our hands, and we have an election. I think probably the first presidential election, except maybe John Kennedy's, the first presidential election where, to me, it's obvious that the thing was stolen. And they complained that President Trump was not a legitimate president. I really believe that it's quite the opposite. I think that President Trump was legitimately elected because they didn't want him to be elected, and they did everything in their power to make sure he couldn't get reelected. And so now we have an illegitimate president. But once the process has gone through, I'll recognize Joe Biden as president. I mean, and live to fight another day. There's really nothing we can do. And until we have institutions in our country that are responsible for getting to the bottom of this stuff. We have prosecutors, we have courts, and somebody's got to dig into this. Surely, is there anybody on the Democrat side with the integrity, with the love of country, with the desire to do what is right, regardless of whose ox it gores, who will say, wait a minute, something isn't right here, and it's got to be corrected for the future and for the well-being of our nation? Man, that's talk about something to pray for. Because that would take a miracle, wouldn't it? It won't be Swalwell, I can tell you that. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
Doctor.
Now there's two doctors. Okay. I get a double raise then. Okay, Haywood, good to hear from you.
I agree wholeheartedly with your evaluation of killing the innocent in the womb. That is what got America to this tipping point. And I'd also like to let everybody know we are a giant that has not yet been awakened. It's happening. And I pray with you for the awakening. And I want every American out there, whether they're Christian or not, hopefully they all come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But if they're a patriot and they love their freedom, to wake up before it's too late. And I love you, and I pray for you every day. I'm going to go off
Thank
there.
You, Haywood. Thank you. Thank you. Love you too, man. There's really nothing to add to that. Those are great comments, Haywood. Thank you. Let's go to, is that Bicky in Georgia? Do I have that right, Bicky?
Hey, Bishop. Yes,
hey.
That's right.
Hey, Bishop. All right,
Bicky. I appreciate that speech you just gave about the write-in votes. I totally agree. But I would like to say something for some of the liberals that are listening. Make it simple for them. If you're going to have surgery, you don't want a doctor that has a great personality and okay skills in the operating room. You want a doctor that maybe don't have the best personality, but he's an expert in the operating room. And that's what Donald Trump is. He's an expert at what he does. He's the greatest president this nation's ever had.
Well, Bicky, thank you for the call. And I'll tell you something. It pains me to think of all the accomplishments of President Trump that are never, ever talked about in the mainstream media. It really does, because you're right. This president has done some extraordinary things, including, in fact, I was looking at a compilation today of all the media people who ridiculed him when he said, we expect to have a vaccine ready this year. It takes 5 years. More Trump happy talk. Once again, he proves he's incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's saying. And here we are with a vaccine within a year. Would you expect some of those people to say, wow, I was wrong? The president got it done. Good for him. Congratulations, Mr. President. No, because they wouldn't give him credit for anything. And, if you put this president up against the accomplishments of Barack Obama, there is absolutely no comparison whatsoever. I mean, I won't even go down what Barack Obama would consider his accomplishments, a bogus health care plan that really didn't do anything. Your health care bill will drop by $2,500. My wife and I had our health care bill after that thing passed go up by 33%. 33%. So, please. President Trump, and energy independence, right? We should be singing that from the rooftops. Because for years we suffered under dependence on foreign oil, Middle Eastern oil, OPEC making decisions that affected every American. And now we're energy independent? Let me come back to your calls. I won't get started on the tremendous historical disservice that's been done to this president and the absolute denigration of his accomplishments. Okay, let's go to Roy in New Hampshire. Roy, welcome.
Dr. Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Roy. How you doing? How you doing, Dr. Roy?
Hey, look, I just wanted to say this, and I'm frustrated because I think what is really frustrating me about this whole process is that we have those that are calling themselves Christians that are a part of us, but they're not really with us. And what I'm saying is that we should, as believers, should all be able to agree that the shedding of innocent blood in this country is wrong. And any Christian who's salt of the earth should be able to distinguish and recognize the difference between the platforms and understand, hey, look, this is one thing that God hates, is the shedding of innocent blood. And so I can't pull the lever for that other platform. I'm just very frustrated that we are at a point to where we could lose the republic. They've already said that they're going to come after us. They're coming after the believers. They are definitely coming, and they're loaded up, and they're coming after us. And I'm just praying that this Senate runoff, that the two senators get elected and get put in that aren't the two Republican senators make it. But I'm just very frustrated about the whole situation.
Well, Roy, look, and I hear you. I understand it. I agree with you. It should be basic. Christians should get that one quite easily. Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. And for Christians, you know, I always say when unbelievers go along with things, I just kind of go, well, you know, you got to pray for them. They don't know any better. But when Christians support this stuff, you're right. It is frustrating because you think, but you know, Andrew Womack has said, and I had never thought about it this way. He said, you know, you can be a Christian without being a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, you can be born again and have so little revelation and knowledge and conviction about obeying God's word that, in effect, you're just, you know, you're just kind of there. You have your insurance policy paid for, but there's really not much more to it than that. I mean, so Roy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Carl in Virginia. You've been waiting patiently. Carl, welcome.
Yes, sir, I have. Would you just listen to me now? Supreme Court turned down the case that would have set the president up, president now. I guess all of them did. Now they can. I think that the reason for it was it'll happen the same way in Congress, no matter how many Democrats or Republicans have. The threat of death, because this was a case the Supreme Court would have paid money to try, and they all turned it down instantly. That's all I've got to say.
Okay. So I guess you're implying that they may have been under some kind of threat. I don't know, Carl. I think that people become institutional. And, you know, as I said it before, I've seen this in conflicts that arise in churches where a lot of people just don't care what's right or wrong. They just don't want to be involved. I don't want the fight. I don't want the conflict. Even though one side may be completely wrong, people won't stand up against it. They go, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be bothered. They'll walk away or they'll just be silent. And I think that's what we've got a lot of going on now. People just, they don't want to rock the boat. So I hope that nobody is under threat of death over this, although we know that people have been threatened. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, we know that that happens, but I hope that's not what's driving any of these decisions. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? God knows, and we just got to keep praying. Let's go to Porcy in Texas. Porcy, welcome.
Welcome. Yes, sir. Thank you. Ooh, Semper Fi, brother. I'm a
Semper Fi
with the First Marines, and I'm not giving up, brother. I'm just going to say that if the Democrats want the White House that bad to achieve it the way they got it, let them have it. And I leave them with one scripture. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Praise God.
Praise God, brother. Listen, that is a tremendous note to end on. I wish I could get to all of you, but we're really at the end of the program. And I don't want to cut you short or have you come on and then have the bumper music come right on top of you. Look, and there it is. But look, folks, it's been a great time today talking to you. And I just want all of you to be encouraged. I like what Porcy said. You know, if they're willing to do all of that to get it, okay, fine. But God is still on the throne. And whatever you sow, you are going to reap. So God bless each and every one of you. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.